Appendix D. Finn is false comfort for sinners. Excerpts.
On repentance. Now the object of instructing an anxious sinner should be to lead him by the shortest possible way to do this. It is to bring his mind, by the shortest route, to the practical conclusion that there is, in fact, no other way in which he can be relieved and saved, but to renounce himself, and rest in Christ alone. To do this with effect requires great skill. It requires a thorough knowledge of the human heart, a clear understanding of the plan of salvation, and a precise and definite idea of the very thing that a sinner must do, in order to be saved. To know how to do this effectually is one of the rarest qualifications in the ministry at the present day. It is distressing to see how few ministers, and how few professors of religion there are who have in their own minds that distinct idea of the thing to be done, that they can go to an anxious sinner, and tell him exactly what he has to do, and how to do it, and can show him clearly that there is no possible way for him to be saved, but by doing that very thing which they tell him, and can make him feel the certainty that he must do it. And that unless he does that very thing, he will be damned. On true compassion for sinners. The direct object of many persons is to comfort sinners, and they are often so intent upon this, that they do not stick at means or kind of comfort. They see their friends distressed, and they pity them, they feel very compassionate, oh, I cannot bear to see them so distressed, I must comfort them somehow, and so they try one way, and another, and all to comfort them. Now, God desires they should be comforted. He is benevolent, and has kind feelings, and his heart yearns over them, when he sees them so distressed. But he sees that there is only one way, to give a sinner real comfort. He has more benevolence and compassion than all men, and wishes to comfort them. But he has fixed the terms as unyielding as his throne, on which he will give a sinner relief. And he will not alter. He knows that nothing else will do the sinner effectual good, so nothing can make him happy, until he repents of his sins and forsakes them, and turns to God. And therefore God will not yield. Our object should be the same as that of God. We should feel compassion and benevolence, just as he does, and be as ready to give comfort, but be sure that it be of the right kind. The fact is, our prime object should be to induce the sinner to obey God. His comfort ought to be with us, and with him, but a secondary object, and while we are more anxious to relieve his distress than to have him cease to abuse and dishonor God, we are not likely, by our instructions, to do him any real good. On regeneration. Regeneration, which we also call conversion, is not a progressive work. What is regeneration, but the beginning of obedience to God? How can a beginning be progressive? Regeneration is the first act of genuine obedience to God, the first voluntary action of the mind that God approves. That is conversion. When people talk about conversion as a progressive work, they show that they know just as much about regeneration or conversion as Nicodemus did. They know nothing about what they should know, and are no better to advise awakened sinners than Nicodemus was. On allowing seekers to suffer. The sinner has a reason for distress, because he doesn't have any Christian faith. If he had God with him, he wouldn't feel awful. If he were a Christian, he would rejoice. But to tell an unrepentant sinner to be cheerful? You might as well preach in hell, cheer up. Don't feel bad. The sinner totters on the verge of hell. He rebels against God and his peril is infinitely greater than he thinks. What a doctrine of demons, to tell a hellish rebel not to get worked up. What causes his distress, but his own rebellion? He isn't comforted, because he refuses comfort. God wants to relieve him, more passionately than does any human being. The instant the sinner submits to Christ, God's comfort will overwhelm him. On how to work with seekers, a useful guide for altar calls. Christians, never tell a sinner anything, or direct him to do anything, that will stop him short of absolute submission to God. Suppose you tell an unbeliever to pray, or to read, or to do anything less than saving repentance, and that night he falls, and breaks his neck. Whom will God blame? It makes the hearts of the faithful bleed to see how many people delude anxious sinners. Their answers are false. What vast spiritual quackery we see in the world, what lies and worthless spiritual doctors who prescribe only false hopes. They dispense false tenderness, because they lack firmness, to apply the sword of the Spirit, to cut men and women to the soul, to expose sinners' naked hearts. Many who enter the ministry lack enough skill to administer the gospel, and enough firmness to watch as God's Spirit crushes rotten hopes until the sinner breaks at the feet of Christ.